Hello, this is Dr. Zeus with the Dr. Zeus Film Podcast. On Friday, I was unable to really pay tribute to the woman who would have been 100 years old. It would have been a miracle if she had lived that long. She was an icon. As kids, we knew her. We knew her as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. That's how we knew her. And then as you get older, you learn about A Star is Born, and then you learn about the Harvey girls, and you learn about her television show. She wasn't a tragic figure. I don't think she was. Her daughters have often said she wasn't a tragic figure. She could be funny, according to good friend Elaine Stritch. In fact, we'll play that. And I'm talking about Judy Garland. Judy Garland, born Frances Ethel Gum on June 10th, 1922, and died June 22nd, 1969. Yeah. And so I can't play any of the music, of course, because it's legendary. But this is the late... I loved Elaine Stritch. This is Elaine Stritch talking about...
Okay.
All right, no.
Is it? Right along.
I'm looking for it. You know how when you look for things and... Okay, I think I know where it is. But it took another diva, Elaine Stritch, to humanize Judy Garland, because people often write her as this tragic figure, and she really wasn't. She really wasn't. She had a tough life, yes, but she was not a tragic figure, okay? I think if we stopped seeing her in that way, and just look at what an extraordinary she's extraordinary. So let's see if I can find it. I'm recording. I mean, you think of there are some iconic moments. There's Judy singing with Barbara Streisand. In that aspect, Barbara has lived to tell the tale and said she felt Judy's hand trembling. Because she knew, Judy knew she was passing the torch to Barbara, because she believed in Barbara. And yeah. So that's and it's Pride Week, so come on, let's go. Oh yes, let's go. Happy Pride. I'm looking. Okay, let's look. Is it this one?
All over time. Where's work?
I'm looking.
Thanks to George Abbott. I flipped over Rock Hudson. People.
Okay.
To supper after the show.
Let's see.
Cast list. And I'm going to age left. City. I was detained in the parking lot.
I'm looking
when this was, but that it was the first time I had ever made my own travel plans. Gielgud told me.
Is it this one?
Hey,
I'm looking.
Burst into tears. Not the same. That night.
Can't find it. So we're gonna go into. Oh God. Oh shit. See what happens? Well, life happens. Life happens, and okay, is this okay? Go to the archive. My stories are. I love that you have stories archive. Yeah. All right. Elaine. I loved Elaine. Elaine Stritch. Here we go. This is. I love this. This really solidifies Judy Garland as a person. Okay.
It was your closing night.
So let's cue it up. Let's cue it up. This is Elaine Stritch talking about Miss Judy Garland.
She said to me one night, it was her closing night at the palace, and there was a big party, a big celebration, and Judy Garland and I were still at it at 8 o'clock in the morning, when she rose to her full height in that orange sequin sheath with the slit up the side, her comeback dress, I called it. She loved that. And she put her hand out to me and she said, Elaine, I never thought I'd say this, but good night.
That's Elaine Stritch talking about Judy Garland and humanizing her, because she was really a funny person. Her daughters have all said that, how Judy Garland's humor, she had a really dark sense of humor, wicked. I believe it. And her daughters would say, Mama, how come people don't know this side of you? She says, it's okay. They don't need to know that side of me. Because it was reserved only for family. And I've said this before, that I think Liza compensates that. Because, you know, Liza's all over the place. And it's like, oh, okay, all right.
Google Fi, a phone plan by Google.
You know, when you talk to Liza, I mean, people put a pot of coffee on. Here we go.
Welcome back to London.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It's nice to be here.
I believe you had a bit of a job landing, didn't you?
Well, the fog closed in around the airport. It wasn't anyone's fault. We wound up in Manchester, and I've been there before. It's a nice town. And it's last time I'm back in London, and that's important.
Now, I Could Go On Singing is your first British film, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How do you enjoy working in this country?
I enjoy it very much. Very much. I like making films here. I like working here. I like to be here.
Dirk Bogarde is a very personal friend of yours, as well as your co-star in the film, isn't he?
Yes, yes.
So this must have been a great help to you.
Yes, that was one of the things that I was so disappointed about last night when we couldn't land, because I knew that he was at the airport to greet me, and he doesn't come out very often to do that. He's a tough guy, as a matter of fact. And the fact that he would wait up that long to greet me and that we couldn't touch ground made me sad.
Now, on this program a few nights ago, we had an interview with young Gregory Phillips, the British boy who plays your son.
Yes, who has suddenly become 48 years old since I last saw him.
He's grown up, hasn't he?
He's enormous. When I left, you know, and we were doing the picture, he came to my nose.
How about the Wizard of Oz?
Well, we were...
I love her.
I had to work with three very professional men, you know, Jack Haley and Bert Lahr and Ray Bolger. And they had so much makeup on, you know, one was a Tin Man and one was the Scarecrow and one was the Cowardly Lion. And they were so busy complaining about their makeups, and each one was making bets as to which makeup was the most difficult. And they all gained weight all the way through the picture. You know, and they all pretended. They just, but whenever we do that little dance up the yellow brick road.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was supposed to be with them.
Yeah.
You know.
They crouched
out. They'd shut me out. They'd close in, and the three of them, and I would be in back of them dancing. I wasn't good enough, you know, to say, wait a minute. And so the director, Victor Fleming, who was a darling man, he was always up on a boom, would say, hold it, you three dirty hams, let that little girl in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure now of presenting a young fellow that you all know that received the Juvenile Award last year. And I know he's probably one of the most popular, well, he is, I think, the biggest box office name in our industry. And I call him the year's 10 best actor, Mr. Mickey Rooney, ladies and gentlemen.
Members of the Academy, ladies and gentlemen, honored guests, it's my privilege this year to present that award for the outstanding performance by a juvenile actress during the past year, Miss Judy Garland.
Thank you.
I hope you win many more of them, honey. And
so I played that because Judy didn't win a competitive Oscar. She'd been nominated, I think, for Judgment at Nuremberg and very famously for Star is Born. And what happened, and this unfortunately threw Judy into very deep depression, according to biographers and I think the family, she didn't win. Everyone in Hollywood assumed she was going to win for A Star is Born. And Grace Kelly won for The Country Girl. So I want to play for you The Star is Born. There's an Oscar monologue. Okay. Star is Born, directed by George Cukor, a great friend of Judy Garland's, a collaborator. They had worked on The Wizard of Oz together. He was one of many directors of that film.
Oh, it's good to see you again. 3 months is a long time. How was your trip?
Not exactly the place a trip it used to be.
Well?
They want your pictures, Esther. That's all I kept hearing way across the country.
Thanks. But would you mind stopping that for just a minute? Excuse me. All right.
Tough day?
I don't know. Tougher than usual.
Maybe you ought to get away after this one. New York or Europe. Just get completely away. What about that? How's Norman? Is he all right?
Yes, he's fine. Want some coffee?
Thanks.
Here. Sit down, Oliver.
Tell me, is he,
He's in a sanitarium. He really wants to stop drinking, Oliver. He's trying very hard. I know he is. But what is it? What is it that makes him want to destroy himself? You've known him longer than anyone else. Tell me what it is. Please, I don't care. Just tell me.
Don't you think I've tried through the years to know why? To help him? I don't know, Esther. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I've got to find the answer. You don't know what it's like to watch somebody you love just crumble away bit by bit, day by day. In front of your eyes and stand there helpless. Love isn't enough. I thought it was. I thought I was the answer for Norman. But love isn't enough for him. I'm afraid of what's beginning to happen within me. Because sometimes I hate him. I hate his promises to stop, and then the watching and waiting to see it begin again. To go home to him at night and listen to his lies. Well, my heart goes out to him because he tries. He does try. But I hate him for failing. I hate me, too. I hate me because I failed, too. I have. I don't know what's going to happen to us, Oliver. No matter how much you love somebody, how do you live out the days? How?
Would it help any if he went back to work?
Oh, could you do?
I'll try.
Yeah, all right. I'll be there in a minute. Yes, okay. Oliver, you will be careful when you talk to him, won't you? You know, all he's got left is his pride. Is his pride.
So that's what we call the monologue from A Star Is Born. And yes, Judy very famously sang The Man That Got Away in A Star Is Born. Yes, in 2019, Renee Zellweger played Judy Garland. I saw the movie, and to be frank and to be honest with you, that was not Judy Garland. Okay? The Judy Garland that we all knew started out as part of the Gum Sisters and became Judy Garland and became this, I mean, she didn't become an icon overnight, but she was always known as that little girl with the big voice. Okay. And I think everyone has tried to overanalyze Judy Garland. Yeah, she's a gay icon. And her death coincides with not so much with Stonehenge. I'm tired. With Stonewall Riots. I mean, it's right, you know. But I wanted to play some more clips. This is the Harvey Girls with Judy Garland and Angela Lansbury.
Without black shoes to keep a sense of humor, please confine your underwear to camisole and bloomer, black shirt waist, cuffs neat and trim. The apron must be spot.
Irene Hoffman of honor to the stand. Mrs. Walner, you are still under oath.
Mrs. Walner, did you come here voluntarily? Did you report voluntarily to speak as a witness?
Yes.
Is it not true that the prosecution asked you to come here? That it was very disagreeable for you to come here?
It is always very disagreeable to live over those times.
That would be in agreement with the information I have that you did not want to come. Thank you, Mrs. Walner. Mrs. Walner! The Nuremberg Laws were stated September 15th, 1935.
So this is Judgment at Nuremberg, and this is Maximilian Schell and talking to Judy Garland's character on the witness stand. Now, Rita Moreno ended up winning the Best Supporting Actress Oscar. She thought that Judy Garland was going to win because Judy Garland, even then, was such a big star.
With disdain, but every social contact?
Yes.
Were you aware that it might have some danger for you personally?
Yes, I was aware of it. But how can you discard a friendship from day to day because of some...
That is another question, Miss Wallner. I did not ask you that question. Were you aware of it?
Yes, I was aware.
And yet you still continued to see each other?
Yes.
Remember, it was brought out at the tribunal that Mr. Feldstein bought you things. Candy and cigarettes.
Yes.
Remember that sometimes he bought you flowers?
Yes, he bought me many things. That was because he was kind. He was the kindest man I ever knew.
Do you know the witness, Mrs. Elterlink, now?
Yes, I know her.
Was she a cleaning woman at the apartment you lived in?
Yes.
Did Mr. Feldstein come to see you at your apartment?
Yes.
How many times?
I don't remember.
Several times?
Yes.
Many times?
Many times.
Did you kiss him?
Yes, I kissed him.
Was there more than one kiss?
Yes. But it was not in the way you are trying to make it sound. He was like a father to me. He was more than a father.
More than a father? Did you sit on his lap? Objection! Counsel is persecuting the witness in the pretext of gaining testimony.
Objection overruled.
The defense is being permitted to reenact what was a travesty of justice in the first place.
Colonel Lawson, the tribunal makes the rulings in this case, not the prosecution. You may proceed.
Did you sit on his lap?
Yes, but there was nothing wrong or ugly about it.
Did you sit on his lap?
Yes, but...
You sat on his lap! What else did you do?
There was nothing that you were trying to say. There was nothing like that.
What else did you do, Mrs. Wallner?
What are you trying to do? Are you trying to... Why do you not let me speak the truth?
That's what we want, Mrs. Wallner. The truth. The truth. You admitted that you continued to see him. You admitted that he came to your apartment. You admitted you kissed him. You admitted you sat on his lap. What else do you admit to? What else?
Nothing. There was nothing like you're trying to make it sound.
What else?
There was nothing. Nothing. Stop it! Stop it!
What else do you admit to, Mrs. Wallner? What else?
Hello? Are we going to do this again?
Your Honor, the stress the defendant has been under is so great that he is not aware.
I am aware.
And so for that performance, Judy Garland was nominated for the final time for Best Actress in a Supporting Role. Before that, she'd been nominated. She did so many films. I loved it when she did films with Gene Kelly. Come on.
Oh, what are you doing up there?
Well, I'm making an entrance. 40, 50, a lot of times.
What in the world is going on here?
Orville, I'll tell you about it later.
Well, I demand to know right here and now.
Orville, this is none of your affair. Just go away.
I will not go away, and you come down from that stage immediately. Come on, come on.
Orville, I've got enough trouble. Don't you start in on me. I've only got 2 days to get up in this part. This is no time to argue.
You're not in this show. You're not.
I just told you. Yes, I am.
Well, I won't have it. I won't have a fiancé of mine working in a...
Orville, if you don't stop this, you won't have a fiancé. So just sit down and be quiet. If you can't be quiet, leave.
Now, look here.
All right. Go away. Go home. What do we do now?
We rehearse that entrance.
All right.
So,
all right.
That's Judy Garland and Gene Kelly in Summer Stock from 1950. There's a lot of singing. Now, Judy not only was in movies, she was also on television, did albums. We'll talk about the albums in a bit. Here's an iconic moment from the Judy Garland Show in 1963.
You're so thrilling, so absolutely thrilling. I must say that we've got all your albums at home, you know. And you're so good that I hate you. I really hate you. You're so good.
Oh, Judy, that's so sweet of you. Thank you, you know. You're so great that I've been hating you for years. In fact, it's my ambition to be great enough to be hated by as many singers as you.
Oh, well, that's a nice thing for you to say. I love it. Say more.
Oh, I love you. I love you too, but don't stop hating me. I need the confidence.
No. And if you ever get a little, you know, feeling of lack of security, call me on the phone and sing a couple of notes to me, and I'll give you hatred like you've never gotten. That's good. See, I love you, pussycat.
I think that makes me happy. Let's try it.
So, of course, they go into Happy Days, are here again. They sing together. It is a legendary moment. It is a legendary performance. And like I said, if you talk to people, especially Barbara Streisand, who said that was Judy passing the torch, and she passed it to her. Because, you know, Barbara herself, she was a singer, she was an actress, she was on the stage. And so, and she had a big voice, just like Judy Garland. So that same decade, Judy Garland does these comeback shows, and she does Judy at Carnegie Hall, okay? And they turned it into an album, a double album. And what happens? She didn't win the competitive Oscar, but she won a Grammy. She won 2 Grammys. And she was the first woman ever to win Album of the Year. So, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga. Oh, wait, Lady Gaga hasn't won yet. Never mind. Take note, Barbara. Barbara won it too. But Judy was the first. And it, you know, it had everything. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, The Man That Got Away. Now, and then it also had, you know, the trolley song. We could talk about her singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Even Margaret O'Brien was like, how Judy kind of changed the words. But I figured, since we're almost out of time, let's talk about the film that made Judy Garland a star. It made her, first and foremost, the biggest star in the world. And then it started airing on television. And to this day, we still regard it as this iconic film. It came out in 1939, okay? 1939. I've always felt that moment, we'll go to it. So the house is, you know, the house is twirling through the air. And then what happens? It lands thud. And Judy Garland, Dorothy Gale, goes to the door. This is the most iconic moment. And she opens that door. And what happens? I'm going to let you listen to it. Everything is now in color. You go from black and white to Technicolor. There's Toto. I mean, this is, it's a moment. And she was the first.
Thank you.
repeating, we're not in Kansas anymore.
That is an iconic line. So iconic even still to this day. I mean, the whole film.
Not much at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas.
Oh, but is that the witch?
Well, Toto? Toto's my dog.
Well, I'm a little muddled. The Munchkins call me because a new witch has just dropped a house on the Wicked Witch of the East. And there's the house, and here you are, and that's all that's left of the Wicked Witch of the East. And so what the Munchkins want to know is, are you a good witch or a bad witch?
But I've already told you, I'm not a witch at all. Witches are old and ugly.
What was that? The Munchkins. They're laughing because I am a witch. I'm Glinda, the Witch of the North.
You are? Oh, I beg your pardon, but I've never heard of a beautiful witch before.
Only bad witches are ugly. The Munchkins are happy because you have freed them from the Wicked Witch of the East.
Oh, but if you please, what are Munchkins?
The little people who live in this land. It's Munchkin Land, and you are their national heroine, my dear.
So, if you notice, she's got manners. I beg your pardon, because she's playing a girl from Kansas. So, based on Frank Baum's novels, The Wizard of Oz. Here we go. This is where Judy Garland and Margaret Hamilton come face to face once again.
You said she was dead.
That was her sister, the Wicked Witch of the East. This is the Wicked Witch of the West. She's worse than the other one.
Who killed my sister? Who killed the Witch of the East? Was it you?
No. No, it was an accident. I didn't mean to kill anybody.
Well, my little pretty, I can cause accidents too.
Aren't you forgetting the ruby slippers?
Slippers? Yes. The slippers. They're gone. The ruby slippers. What have you done with them? Give them back to me or I'll...
It's too late. There they are, and there they'll stay.
Give me back my slippers. I'm the only one that knows how to use them. They're no use to you. Give them back to me. Give them back.
Keep tight inside of them. Their magic must be very powerful, or she wouldn't want them so badly.
You stay out of this, Glinda, or I'll fix you as well.
Oh, rubbish. You have no power here. Be gone before somebody drops a house on you.
Very well. I'll bide my time. And as for you, my fine lady, it's true, I can't attend you here and now as I'd like. But just try to stay out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
So I played that because you got three legendary actresses in that one scene. You've got Billie Burke, who was in a lot of comedies during the 30s and musicals. She was the late wife. She was the wife of the late Ziegfeld, Florence Ziegfeld. Judy Garland and Margaret Hamilton. Margaret Hamilton, who was this really great character actress. And The Wizard of Oz really solidified her acting ability. I mean, she was a kindergarten teacher. She was newly divorced. But I thought, you know, let's end. It's always good to do the end. And here we go. Wizard of Oz, 1939. Judy Garland.
Wake up, honey.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
No. I dream lots of silly things when we...
No, Aunt Em. This was a real, truly live place. And I remember that some of it wasn't very nice, but most of it was beautiful. But just the same, all I kept saying to everybody was, I want to go home. And they sent me home. Doesn't anybody believe me?
Of course we believe you, though.
Oh, but anyway, Toto, we're home. Home. And this is my room. And you're all here.
And I'm not going to leave here ever, ever again. Because I love you all. And, oh, Annie M., there's no place like home.
And our tribute to Judy Garland. Legend, I mean, Oscar, Emmy, Grammy. 100 years. And so let's take a page from her family who want to tell people she was not a tragic figure. She was someone who experienced a lot of highs and a lot of lows and died very sadly in 1969, 2 weeks after her birthday. She was 47 years old. And here we honor her on June 10th, which would have been her 100th birthday. She's still alive in our hearts. The films, the music. The Wizard of Oz, come on. And then, of course, you know, because Lady Gaga did A Star is Born, or Barbra Streisand did A Star is Born. And Lady Gaga did a beautiful tribute in her Star is Born to both Barbra and to Judy. So, as always, unpleasant dreams.